This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
Want to talk today about paywall journalism and how it might be changing the way journalists write. Basing this on a column written by Tim Burrows, this feature first appeared in the July edition of Encore magazine. And he talks about how you're not supposed to give everything away in that first paragraph or two, because with a paywall, that's all you're going to see with a story, perhaps, is that first paragraph or two. Then you have to pay, I guess, to get more information. And the idea is to get you to pay and go to that article and get more information, be at the newspaper site, see the advertising, that sort of thing. Before we started recording, Mike Murray and I were talking, actually, that this sort of follows the broadcast journalism model, where you don't give everything away right at the beginning of the story. You write a lead to a story, a lead sentence or two that sort of teases what you're going to hear about, but you don't want to give away all that information all at once because you want the audience to continue listening. And that's much different than what has been the print journalism model, Lisa, where you have that most important information at the top of the story, the beginning of the story, and you sort of work your way down to less and less and less essential information.
Yes, the classic or the inverted pyramid structure of news, where you have basically the ending of the story at the very beginning. What happened? Cut to the chase. Give it to the readers right away so you don't lose their attention, and so that if the story gets cut from the bottom, you don't lose anything essential. That's been what structure of news stories since the Civil War. And so he's talking about how this writing online is affecting the structure of news stories that we're seeing, and questions whether that is misleading to audiences, to kind of tease them with some news and then maybe they're not delivering a great news story when you pay the money.
Yeah, well, maybe they are delivering a good news story, but you have to pay that money. I mean, this isn't a we're still struggling with how do you make it profitable to do journalism online, and perhaps this is the model that you have to follow to try and generate the revenue that's needed to support the reporting.
Yeah, and I mean, and I applaud the idea of trying to hook readers. I mean, I think part of the reason newspapers were losing audiences was not just because of the internet, but because they were boring a lot of times. So, I mean, if you're trying to attract readers, then I'm all for delaying the lead or trying to catch their attention. But he's saying, yeah, this is for the wrong reasons. This is just out of trying to get profits.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, my feelings about the whole thing are, you know, at the risk of going off on a tangent, which I'm very good at, of course, you know, is perhaps the question of profits in relation to news is an absurdity, because news is just information. And, you know, if it's exciting information, it's exciting, fine. If it's boring, it's boring, fine. What are you going to do with it? It's just information. I think maybe a lot of journalism has been ruined by the needs for profits, which doesn't change the fact that newspapers are going broke, and radio stations and TV stations. But still, it's kind of a question of where, you know, why should we have to make the news interesting when it's just information, okay?
Information that we think you need to know.
Need to know whether you agree with us or not, and we'd love for you to pay for it, but, you know, maybe that's a question that shouldn't be asked, you know, to keep the information untainted from the need to make it exciting, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, maybe it doesn't need to be profitable, but at least it needs to break even because so you can sustain it.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Well, that has to be because of where we are and everything in the economy we're in. But in any case, you know, to get back in the saddle here, the idea of giving people half a story and then hoping that they will pay for it, you know, I don't know if that's really a sound model, and it's been tried. Has it ever worked anywhere? Do we know?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
You know, at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, personally speaking, I can recall a couple of times I've gone in for a story and they want me to pay $1.95 to see the bottom half of it. And I haven't paid, and I've kind of cursed under my breath and said, I'm not going to pay for this, you know, because I'm an old school guy. I'm used to having the whole story there. And so I just refuse to do it and am satisfied with what I get.
$1.95 sounds like a lot for a single story.
That's what they wanted. In you know, the times that I've tried to use their website, and I don't know, it's been a long time since I've done that, but they maybe don't charge that much anymore. But this was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. So. I like the New York Times model. They instituted a paywall a year ago, and or a little more than a year ago, and now if you read, you can read 10 stories for free in 30 days, and then you have to start paying a subscription fee, but you don't pay by the story. It seems to be working. They've increased the number of subscribers. And I think that inspired a lot of newspapers to start instituting paywalls because I think they should charge for journalism. It's labor intensive to go and gather news. But this piece Tim Burrows wrote argues for doing it in a way that respects the reader.
You mentioned the New York Times. It's worked for them. Will it work for the McDonough County Voice or, you know, Hancock County Journal Pilot? You know, name your small town newspaper. It's a much different beast than the New York Times. Do you think that sort of pay model, get 10 articles for free per month, after that you have to pay for a subscription, can that work for smaller town newspapers?
Good question. Is it working? I mean, they charge, I don't think the Voice is charging for their website, but the Peoria paper did start charging. I mean, even if you're a print subscriber, you have to pay extra to subscribe to read everything on their website. And
are you allowed to read a certain amount for free, or how does it work?
Yeah, there's some stories for free, but not everything.
You come from a newspaper background. What are your thoughts?
Gosh, I don't know that I have any exactly.
If we knew the answers, then newspapers wouldn't be in a crisis right now.
That's right. And we wouldn't be talking about this and trying to figure it out. It is. Do you anticipate, by the way, based on what Burroughs has written here, about the idea of perhaps changing the style of writing on the internet and doing some sort of tease at the beginning of the story rather than giving away most of the information, the old inverted pyramid style? Do you anticipate that's going to become the way things are done, and are you both going to have to teach that as part of web writing for your journalism and broadcasting students?
Well, the textbook I use already has lessons on how to, at least one of my textbooks, on how to write a brief that will appear out front. So it seems to be the way things are going. And even on the New York Times, I mean, you'll see kind of a synopsis of the article that's separate from the whole story that follows the more classic structure.
Yeah, I think... you know, the whole idea of the tease is a really essential part of information handling now. And I, you know, I don't think it's a good thing, but I think it's the kind of thing, you know, we've been doing it in broadcasting for a long time, you know, and on the news at 10, you know, and that kind of thing. And I talk about it when I do talk about news writing, but, you know, I don't like it much. So.
Hey, we've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.